It's the Way of the Master Radio pre-show mail call delivery bag, Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza, featuring your emails, letters, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Have you checked your email this morning?
Incoming message.
I think he wants to communicate.
There is a message for you.
I want to get online. I need a computer.
Now, here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
When you're in service and you have a question, or maybe the pastor is wrong on what he's teaching about, maybe if he picked up a little purpose-driven Rick Warren stuff, is it wrong to raise your hand and ask a question?
Like Horshack, this is the Way of the Master Radio pre-show show. You can beep talk us like that gentleman just did at 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP. Beep. Okay. Dude, I gotta tell you, there's many times I'd like to do that. If nothing else, just to go, excuse me, hold on. Point three was what? What did you mean by, okay, got it, thank you. If the church rules were set up for that, and actually, I don't know that that's outside of the parameters of how church is described in Corinthians. That, 1 Corinthians 14, that you do things decently in an order is really the guiding principle. So if it's set up for people to raise their hands and ask a question, yeah, I think it's fine. But if it's not, then I think it's bad manners and bad form, and it's likely going to disrupt preaching, which is different than teaching. And so perhaps a better forum for it is in a teaching setting rather than a preaching setting, or just after the service to be able to say, sir, just what exactly was that all about?
What is the deal in Matthew 19 when the rich young ruler comes to Christ and asks, what should he do to get saved? And Christ starts talking about selling all his stuff.
Oh, dude, that's a great question. That's one of the foundational things that we share to show the use of the law. I would encourage you, sir, if you have not listened to Hell's Best Kept Secret, or Kirk has preached Soundly Saved, it's kind of the same sermon, please listen to it, or get the book Way of the Master, where it explains the use of the law. This is one of those texts where I think without understanding the use of the law, frankly, we're left a little bit perplexed. The rich young ruler comes running up, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? And first of all, Jesus starts with a question, why do you call me good? And I think that is where we get our leading for what is going to happen in the next few verses. It's about being good or not. Only God is good. How is God's goodness defined? Well, a lot of ways, I think, but clearly in the Ten Commandments, the moral law that really proceeds from him. It isn't something abstract that he wrote that he adheres to. That is, it's just, he is that. And so that's what goodness is. So then when Jesus says that you must, I think he gives five or six horizontal commandments, why would he do it? Certainly, the captain of our salvation knew that it was by grace through faith alone. Why would he give him the laws? Because he was trying to help the rich young ruler understand he's not good. And so when the rich young ruler responds, clearly indicating he's still filled with self-righteousness, the key on which, the hinge on which salvation swings, Jesus said, okay, you think you've kept them all? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Well, is that how you get to heaven? Clearly not. There isn't a verse in Scripture that would even hint at such a thing. He was trying to help the rich young ruler understand that his money was his God, and the rich young ruler walked away sad because he had much. Please notice, Jesus didn't go chasing after him. He was using the law to bring about the knowledge of sin. Same thing, by the way, sir, in Romans chapter 2.
If you were a sinner before you were born again, you repented of your sin and trusted Jesus to save you, why do you still now sin? What has changed?
Excellent! My attitude towards sin. Now remember, repentance is a change of attitude and a change of direction. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, insto pronto, I become holy, completely sanctified. We need to keep our doctrines clear on this one. When we get saved, we are justified. We begin the process of sanctification because instead of walking toward the east, toward our sin, toward our flesh, we now turn in the opposite direction. We stumble, we fall, we still have this flesh that hangs on until it's redeemed, and so we fall into sin, but we don't dive because we're going in a new direction. Let's start the show.
The Way of the Master Radio begins in 3,
two, one.
Love. If you believe that God loves you, if you have faith, you'll go to heaven.
Exciting and new.
A loving God would not let someone go to hell.
Come aboard. In the end, we'll all be accepted into heaven, hopefully.
We're expecting you.
Well, I've heard people say that they think what God is doing in this world is he's loving everybody. That's God's thing. And we're all together and just God's just loving us. And not. God loves us. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's not some pampering love. Listen, it's a perfecting love. It's a love that wants our highest and best usefulness for his purposes.
It's time for The Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Frio.
Everybody who is hearing my voice, okay, tens and tens of people, everybody who is hearing my voice is going to love what I'm about to present to you. Unless, of course...
Wow, there's a different tact.
You happen to be Lutheran. Oh, now I've got your attention. This is Way of the Master Radio, and it's a free-for-all Friday. Would you please call 1-877-LAW-GRACE? That's the number here. It's free. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Don't even know who we are? That's okay. We're chatty. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Please call. We'll talk. It's a free-for-all Friday. Don't know if you heard about the Pew Research that happened earlier this week. At least it was released. Tens of thousands of people were surveyed asking what they believed about God. Overwhelmingly, people believe God exists. Overwhelmingly, people think that there's a heaven. Underwhelmingly, they think there's a hell. And shockingly, 53 or 57% of evangelicals.
57%.
What? Now, are you saying that in kind of a haughty way, like you
no
evangelicals versus we Lutherans?
Well, no, Lutherans are evangelical.
Well, exactly, because there was an article by a guy, he's a blogger, a Lutheran blogger, and he inside of the Pew study, 57%, by the way, said that there's other ways to get to Jesus. He said that in the survey, they included Lutheran Church Missouri Synod inside of the definition of evangelical.
Yep.
However, this saddens me. I'm not kidding. This saddens me. The Lutheran Church, Missouri people who were polled actually outdid the other evangelicals in thinking that there's other ways to get to God. Unbelievable. 78% of the respondents who were Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod believe that many religions can lead to eternal life. What is going on, Missouri Synod?
Where'd you find that? What blog? I'm
Wednesday, June 25th. Thanks to Lutheran Cantor and Dan at Necessary Roughness. You know there? You know that is? Yeah. All right. That's the breakdown. And Gene Veith blogs on a recent... Oh, here's Gene. It's from Gene Veith's site.
Yep.
All right. Hello? Hello? Missouri Synod? Where have you gone? Where are you? What is going on in St. Louis? What is happening there? What are you doing? Are you not
catechizing?
That too. What's going on? How can this be? You're ahead. I'm telling you, I would have lost that bet no problem. I would have said, oh, squish bomb evangelicals, Missouri Synod, they'll do okay on that one. Hey. Missouri Synod, if you're listening, there's problems there if this is accurate and this is right, and if this happens to go along with the report that we heard from the issues and ideas.
Is issues, et cetera.
I think issues and ideas is better.
Okay.
It's sort of like...
I'll pass that on.
It's like hot dogs and more. It's so vague. Issues, et cetera. Et cetera, et cetera. You talk about macrame?
What's that from?
Et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Ditto, ditto. Happens to be a line from 1776.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe others.
You're just a musical kind of guy.
That's me. I mean, just call me Toddy Tune, if you will.
I think not.
Thank you for that. I bless you for that. I'll tell you that much. All right. You pulled the issues, et cetera, and more off of the radio. We get the report from the lady. Who is the lady who was inside the Missouri Synod?
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway.
Did a lovely job. That's an interview worth listening to if you want to go back to our archives at wayofthemasterradio.com. She was saying that a third of those in the Missouri Synod are solid, confessional. A third are just, they just don't know really what's going on and maybe don't care. And the other third going the squishy way. What is going on? A third, Molly, I'm sorry, I doubted you. Apparently she was right, in fact, under-exaggerated if this is accurate. 78%, only 84% are absolutely certain there is a God.
The scary part is?
12% are fairly certain.
That stacks up pretty well against the other thingies.
Only 42% said the Bible should be taken literally.
Yeah.
What happened to sola scriptura in the Missouri Synod?
Okay, but some of the questions are a little weird, though. In all honesty, do you think... Okay, here's one of the questions that...
All right.
That concern, do you think there's a heaven...
Yes.
...where people who have led good lives are eternally rewarded? How do you answer that?
That's a lot... the same way I answer, do you still beat your wife? I can't.
Exactly.
Okay, but even so, dude, that wasn't the issue. Are there other ways to get to heaven?
I know.
That one's pretty tough, so
go up. Extremely disappointing.
28% believe there's one correct way to interpret Scripture.
Yes.
Woo-wee. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday.
Yeah, but how did the other Christian denoms break out here is what I want to know.
Well, an evangelical. I would guess the Episcopalians and the Methodists did about the same or worse.
Yeah.
Catholic was about that level. 79%, if I recall, said that there's other ways to get to God. But evangelicals at 57%, all the other mainstream, probably Baptist, Evangelical Free Church. Who else might be lumped in there? There's others.
Reformed.
I know it. Oh, okay. Sure. Thank you very much. Yeah, probably different Presbyterians. Yeah, sorry for the brain phase there, fade there. Okay. You didn't do as well.
No.
Whew. Whew. That does not make anybody happy. That doesn't make us cheer. This is not denominational wars. This is nope. This is about Jesus Christ and his name and his kingdom, and that's a bad thing. Wow. 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 You know what? I'll tell you what. As long as we're at it, I'd love to see how the Wisconsin Synod did. That would be fascinating, because you just might be paddling your little Lutheran boat from St. Louis all the way over to Milwaukee, Mr. Verkennis. 1-877-LAW-GRACE.
Actually, at the moment, I'm not paddling anywhere. We're independent.
1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday. Let's chat, shall we? Dennis is in South Carolina, and he's streaming. Dennis, thank you very much for calling. Hello.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm good, sir.
Glad to hear from you.
I'm glad you called, sir.
Yes, sir. I was checking on, we had discussed Gehenna a little bit, and it says their worm never dies. What is this worm? It says their worm never dies. What is their worm?
Yeah, it's a picture that, when a body rots and the maggots and the worms nosh away on the body, that never stops.
Right, but why is it singular? Why is it their worm, not worms? What is this singular worm?
First of all, I'd have to look and see if it was singular or plural.
Is singular.
Yeah, I don't know that it would make any difference. Do you think that it's symbolic of something else?
Yes, oh, absolutely.
What do you think it is?
It has to be.
What do you think it is?
Well, their worm, Jacob was called a worm. I think it has to do with their reputation. Their worm never dies. It's got nothing to do with torment. It's got to do with their, just like Hitler. Hitler died, and he's now known as a worm forever. His worm never dies.
Well, there's two things that I would suggest, Dennis. Name, besides Judas Iscariot from the first century, give me the list of wormy reputations.
Oh, gosh, there's hundreds of them.
But we don't know who those... I would have to spend some time thinking about it. And furthermore, millions of people have died. I have no... Their reputation is long dead. Nobody has a clue who they are.
Well, anybody who died as a mass murderer in the electric chair is pretty well known.
Well, that would be the exception to the rule.
Right.
So I think historically we see that their reputation does die. Overall, most people's reputation, it does go away. We know very few people in history. Second of all, Jesus' point, I mean, even if you want to make it the reputation, it's clear there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
It doesn't say that about Gehenna.
What does it say it about?
Weeping and gnashing of teeth is people who are not allowed into the kingdom, who are cast into the outer darkness. That has nothing to do with Gehenna.
And what is that, Dennis?
What is what?
What is outer darkness? What is everlasting life away from God and in heaven?
People that are living outside the kingdom, they're not in the light of God.
That are dead.
They're living outside the light of the kingdom of God.
Where are the two places you can go when you die?
They're not talking about after you die.
Dennis, they
those scriptures about outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth have nothing to do with after you die.
Dennis, how come you are arguing so hard for the idea of a non-eternal hell?
Because it doesn't say that in the Bible.
You are in a very small minority, and everybody who agrees with you is an occult.
It might be considered a cult because people have been brainwashed for so long about this hell issue.
Well,
and
you
it's
should,
totally
you should,
bogus. If
well,
you look at the scriptures and read them hermeneutically, the scriptures don't say one thing about eternal conscious torment and hell.
Well,
not once.
Sure they do. That's what everybody's agreed on with a clear reading of scripture for 2,000 years.
Give me an
years.
Example.
Matthew 25.
Okay, tell me what it says.
That those who go to heaven go to eternal life, and those who go to hell go on to eternal
Matthew
torment.
Matthew 25 doesn't say one word heaven. Heaven's not in Matthew 25.
Where are they going then? What is the language, Dennis?
It says eternal life. It doesn't say they're going anywhere. It talks about
mean?
The sheep and the goats,
well,
and the sheep enter into eternal life,
Dennis,
which is what you get when you're born again.
Dennis, what's the analogy of Scripture?
And the goats go into eternal fire.
What's the analogy of Scripture? How do we use Scripture to interpret Scripture? You don't just take one verse. Eternal life, we know from all the other verses, is either heaven or hell.
Do you have eternal life right now?
Sure.
Promise are you in heaven?
To me?
Are
no,
you in heaven?
No, but I'm not in that
okay,
place,
so
like that verse in Matthew 25
heaven.
Says. Sure
eternal
it is.
Life is not heaven.
Oh, Dennis.
You have eternal
Who,
life right
Dennis,
now.
Dennis.
I have eternal life right now. Well, we're still on the earth.
Okay, well, what is eternal life, Dennis?
Eternal life is the fullness of the Holy Spirit, being born again.
That's
eternal
that's,
life, that's, having the life of Christ inside
okay, that's
you.
A part of it. Dennis, who are the teachers you're following?
I study the Bible. Yeah. I get my teachings directly from the Word of God.
Do you go to a church?
No, sir. I home church.
There's your problem right there, Dennis. I want to encourage you to get
I've
yourself...
I've been in churches for 35 years.
Then
I just started
going...
house churching about a year ago.
Then you know what? You need to get yourself back to a Bible-based church immediately because this is what
happens. I study
the
Bible hermeneutically. I study the Greek grammar. I've been studying the Word very, very diligently. I listen to Alistair Begg all the time, who I know you like. I listen to John MacArthur. I listen to all the same teachers you do.
But John MacArthur and Alistair Begg can't say, Dennis... You're off the track on this one. Let me sit down and show you why and help you get back on track.
I'm letting you show me why, but so far you haven't been able to do it.
Well, I have, but you just have rejected it out of hand. Dennis,
no,
I think that if John MacArthur and Alistair Begg could sit down with you, they would say, friend, hell goes on for forever, and so does heaven.
Give me a scripture.
I already have given you Matthew
25. Give me one that says hell goes on forever and there's torment in there.
Jesus.
For people.
Who's getting tormented? The animals?
Satan and his angels. That's the only one that says the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever.
And anybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's
Book of... Doesn't
say one
word about people being in torment in hell.
Okay.
Not once.
All right. Okay, Dennis, thanks for your call. Get to a church, all right,
sir? You're not going to answer me, are you?
I just did.
No, you didn't, sir.
And anybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of... Okay.
You have no scriptures.
Okay. All right, Dennis, take care. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. This is what happens when you don't go to church. Let me just read for you Genesis, Matthew 25. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So that's both right there. Dennis, that's the devil and his angels. And he will also say to those on the left hand, those are human beings, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then we can scoot ahead. 44. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Dennis, the context isn't on the earth. The context is Judgment Day, and that's everything you need right there in Matthew 25. There's more, but that's plenty right there. You can scoot ahead, read all of Revelation, the final judgment, the sheep and the goats. Read Revelation 19 and 20. Dennis, I don't know who you're listening to, or what you're scoping out on the internet, but that's not what Alistair Begg teaches. That's not what John MacArthur teaches. And, sir, I just read to you Matthew 25. That's not what the Bible teaches. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday. Let's go to Jim in Tennessee. As soon as my mouse... You know, the problem with a mouse...
The cat?
After you've dropped a cup of water on it?
You didn't.
Well, it was mostly on the keyboard. Really?
Even better.
Jim is in Tennessee. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I've got a comment on the Florida revival.
Mm-hmm.
I met with a Messianic Jew, a good friend of mine today, and he had just come back from visiting the revival. And I asked him what he thought of it, and he said, well, he really did believe that God was involved in what was going on down there.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I've heard a bunch of things. I wasn't real up on it, but I said, tell me what you liked and didn't like. And one of the things he said about not liking it, he said, is that it was very light on Scripture, there was no gospel message, and there was no call to repentance. And I said, well, then how could God be involved in that?
Right.
It just didn't seem like it matched up. But I just thought it was interesting that he still thought that there was some really good things going on, but there was so much left out of it.
Well, I got to tell you, I think your pal was astute on a lot of things we're missing part. And I can understand, we human beings, this is why the Jews in Hebrews, they love the temple. They love the smell. You can see the blood. The high priest, look at the high priest. We can see it. We can sense it. We like that. We're inclined to like that. Physical things that we can go, yeah, it's happening. So I understand that. It's wrong. And that's what the writer of Hebrews said. Don't go back to those physical things and those signs. We've got our faith in the unseen God and in Jesus Christ. Now, Jim, when we come back, we'll keep going with the Free for All Friday, 1-877-LAW-GRACE. I will share with you, and we'll try very hard to get it up on the internet immediately. I will describe for you a video I saw just today of Todd Bentley. It will make you sick. It is absolutely disgusting. Next on Way of the Master Radio. Hey, Ray.
Yes, Todd.
Wouldn't it be great if there was a conference with you and Kirk and Easy and Paul Washer and Ken Ham and Johnny Hunt and Dr. Marshall Foster with worship led by Scott Crepane?
That'd be too good to be true, read with astonishment.
Well, Ray, it's not. There's a new conference in town, and it's going to be amazing.
A conference with all those people should be called Deeper.
Well, read, Ray.
It should happen October 17th, 18th, 2008 in Atlanta.
Oh, what a coincidence.
And people should be able to register at deeperconference.com.
Well, that's exactly what I was reading on the script. Visit deeperconference.com to register now. Don't you just hate it when you find something you really love and then all of a sudden, boop, it's out of business? Oh! Maybe, for instance, you really like the wayofthemasterradio.com website and you think, what a drag if it just disappeared one day because somebody wonderful like Tom Hawkins of Hawkins Chevrolet didn't sponsor it. Well, no worries. He does. It's safe. Their website is hawkinsbestprice.com. Check them out. Even if you're within 49 states of Minnesota, it's worth your while. And maybe send them a note to say, thanks for making sure this website is safe and sound.
Every day's a gamble. I figure if I wake up in the morning, I'm a winner.
The New Testament has more than 5,600 Greek manuscripts. By comparison, the Iliad, the works of Sophocles, the works of Aristotle, Livy, Julius Caesar, Tacitus, Herodotus, and Plato all combined have less than 1,000 manuscripts. Simply put, the next 8 most represented books in antiquity, added together, only have about 1/6 as many manuscripts as the New Testament.
I think this could be the real thing.
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
Video so disgusting, we have to show it to you.
Thank heavens it's radio.
This is Way of the Master Radio. In case you are thinking that the Todd Bentley revival down in Lakeland, Florida has any sort of biblical merit, or even not biblical merit, but the results are okay, what we saw today was the... This is a man, he's a big guy, apparently he likes wrestling, and he's a revival fellow. And so he's down in Florida, every single night about 7,000-8,000 people are attending, and he, bam, heals people. And then they come up on stage, bam, and he heals them, and that's what he does all the time. Knocks them down, whatever, and he's got tattoos and metal through his face. And he's talked about kicking people in the face, and he's talked about, and we thought, well, he was probably just making up stories and leg dropping the pastor, because apparently the guy likes wrestling, and he's tackled a Chinese man so hard that his cat teeth fell out. And we thought, well, maybe he was kidding. So here's the video. A guy, you know how they usher him up on stage to say, here's what his you can't see it illness is, and so I can simply pronounce that it's healed because he can't tell if it is or isn't, and who really is going to do the follow-up. Man comes walking on stage. I'd say he's middle-aged. Didn't look sickly, but he claimed to have had stage 4, which typically means stage 4 cancer is you are likely terminal. You're probably going to die, and he had stomach cancer. Imagine this, Todd Bentley, who probably weighs in at 240, I'm guessing, give or take. puts his microphone down, goes running across the stage, and knees the guy in the guts. The guy drops down to his knees, holding his stomach, and then Todd Bentley says something dopey like, well, let's see. Hey, David! David! You! David!
Yes!
Dude, the Todd Bentley kicking the guy in the stomach deal. I know it. Was that not the most disgusting thing you've ever seen? Honestly, was that not the single most ridiculous? That alone, you would go, okay, sorry, gang, turn the bus around. We're not going to Lakeland. This little show is over.
Oh, no, we're going to Lakeland. We're going to Lakeland.
Yeah, you want to turn his cheek, do you?
That's right.
That's not quite how the verse goes. Sort of like Dennis's understanding of hell. Okay, dude, could you try to grab the sound for that if there is any? After he has to pick the guy up off of his hands and knees and groaning because he's been kneed in the guts by a wrestler wannabe.
Yes, sir. I'll
and then tries it. To explain to him, well, sometimes you have to kick the cancer right out of him or whatever he says.
Yeah. All right.
We'll bring that to you next, and we'll put it up on our website just as fast as we can because that's enough. That's enough. I don't need to see anymore. I don't even need to hear his preaching, although we have, and his salvation message is a dog's breakfast. That's enough. Of this. And while I really appreciated the Assembly of God head person, chairman, president, whatever his title is, coming out and saying, hey, be careful when you go to these revivals. They might be kind of bad, so measure them by these four criteria. Sir, I think it's time to turn it up a notch or 10 and call it what it is. It's shenanigans. 1-877-LAW-GRACE, 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday. You call, we chat. By the way, don't confuse that number with Beep Talk, which is 1-877-282-BEEP, because that's the number you call if and you don't want to talk on the air, you want to leave a comment, a criticism, by all means. And we have indeed had some people calling in defending Todd Bentley, or at least leaving voicemails or sending emails. We understand, because I know that maybe the world that you're in is not that far away from some of his antics. The vast majority of us see that and are shocked and appalled. Can you imagine? Do we see anywhere in Scripture Jesus giving a kung fu punch to a Pharisee or slamming somebody down on the ground? Does this sound at all like your Savior? At all physically violent and then trying to justify it by saying, well, sometimes cancer like this needs to be kicked out? What verse is that? It's not biblical. Does God heal? Yes, he does. He uses doctors and he uses medicine, and sometimes he just heals miraculously. But these people who are putting on these shows, just look at what is going on. Is Jesus being exalted? Is the gospel being preached? And the answer is no and no. Josh is in Pennsylvania, and he's streaming. Josh, thank you very much for calling Way of the Master Radio. Hello, sir.
All right. A few months ago, I don't know how many of you back now, but a few months ago, a guy called in, asked you about the verse about the fig tree when you see it budding forth. You know, it was something along the lines of, is the rapture coming soon? And you told him something along the lines of, like, yeah, it could be what it means, but we don't want to be too pushy on that one because, you know, what if, and you said, what annoyed me was you said, what if Israel gets put out of the land again?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just wanted to read you Amos chapter 9, verse 14 and 15.
Okay.
It says, and I will bring again the captivity of my people, people of Israel, and they will shall build their waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat fruit. And verse 15. Here's what I like. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord,
right.
Thy God. And
yeah.
Which I think is cool, because I think that says, you know, Israel's not going to be put out of their land again. And I think it's safe to say that, yeah, the rapture could be coming soon, and we should get saved for that reason, because, you know, hey, you don't want to miss the rapture. So that's all.
You know, Josh, I'll take it. What chapter was that in Amos?
Amos chapter 9, verse 14 and 15.
9:14. Let me go take a look at it, all right, dude?
Hey, one other thing.
Yes, sir.
That whole hell thing with that guy.
Yes.
Luke chapter 16, verse 9, the parable of Lazarus, the rich man Lazarus.
Oh, sure. There's another one.
Yeah, that's a good one. So,
yeah. Well done, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, Josh, I'll take a look at that. That's a possibility. That's assuming, of course, that those end times events have indeed happened. If you weren't familiar with what I said, my thinking was some people, and again, it depends on your eschatology and your end times, that this generation will not die until this comes to pass. And so if you believe that in either, well, you can pick your year, you can pick 1968 at the recapturing of Jerusalem, which I think is more accurate, versus 47 for, is it 47 or 4, I always get that goofed up, 47 for, when Israel, when the Jews got the land back, and another generation would be, well, right about this time, that if a generation is 40 years, if that's how you want to reckon a generation, then the Jesus should be coming back. And my comment was, well, yes, that's possible, if that is a correct interpretation of your end times verses. Or maybe it's going to be that Israel loses the land again and they don't get it back again for 1,000 years, and then we see this all over again because we don't know what God's timeline is. Maybe it could be this time. Maybe it could be another time. I'll take a look at Amos 9 and 14 and 15 to see how that might fit, or if that maybe just puts a boot, a Todd Bentley boot, on my potential end times understanding. 1-877-LAW-GRACE, 1-877-LAW-GRACE. I'm telling you, that video... Oh. Chad in Pennsylvania, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Got a question for you, and this is, I know the verses, you know, there really isn't much backup in the Bible. The verses say, you know, absence in the body, present with the Lord. How do you explain, I know some good Christian people that wouldn't lie or make things up. How do you explain things as far as supernatural activity, spirits, familiar spirits, seeing, I mean, having haunted houses, I mean, things like that?
If you want a really long answer, dude, go to wayofthemasterradio.com. And I think that we discussed this with Erwin Lutzer, L-U-T-Z-E-R, and you should be able to find him in the archive, and we gave a longer answer. I'll give you the short one, dude. There are spirits. I don't like ghosts. I don't know where that came from exactly, but there are spirits. Remember, there are heavenly places. There's the realm of things that we don't see in Ephesians 6, that there's just stuff going on out there that we don't get exposed to, and I think it's a good thing. But there are demons. The devil prowls about. There are angelic beings. We don't see them. Yes, they can take on human form, but otherwise they are spirit beings also. And so, Chad, I think that they can rattle around a house, maybe waiting for a body to take over, maybe to find a new place. But, Chad, it doesn't hurt anything biblically or theologically to say that there are spirits that can rattle around a home. So, dude, I think they're there. We need to be a little bit careful. Sometimes people say that, well, I hear their voice or it's my dead relative. That's not right. We don't believe that, because that would be calling up spirits from the dead. Clearly, clearly forbidden and restricted in Leviticus 18. So, haunted houses, you bet. Places typically where somebody was murdered or something awful happens. I think it's okay, Chad. Do you see any reason that it could contradict any solid theology?
Yeah, I mean, so that's why Christ says, don't concern yourself with familiar spirits.
Yeah, I think, you know, we want to know what they're doing. We want to be aware of their ways and what they're capable of and what they're not. Spending any more time than that, dude, I think we're going into a realm that's frankly just a bad place for us to be. Chad, have a good weekend. Who was the guy that was praying? Oh, it was Todd Bentley again. Todd Bentley was praying the salvation prayer. You remember that? Dear Lord, we come before you because, ooh, my knee hurts. And, well, especially that guy who I just kicked in the guts. And there are people here who want healing, and forgive us our sins, and come into my heart because I really need some feeling. And devil, you need to just back off because I'm not yours anymore. And all of a sudden the prayer segues from talking to God to talking to the devil? Just don't see that in Scripture. In fact, I've heard some people say, well, I like to quote Scripture to the devil. Well, I think you should quote it to yourself. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. That God has defeated the devil. He is not a foe that we need to be weary of, or we're leery of, but not frightened of. We fear God, period. And I think we should quote verses to ourselves. But speaking at the devil, Jude, I think, warns about that type of thing. 1-877-LAW-GRACE, 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday. Tim is in Canada on Sirius Family Net. Tim, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I had a question. If we need our bodies, some people say, for the resurrection, and that's
the reason why they're against cremation and they're for burial only. And how does organ donation fit in with that same topic?
Yeah, I think organ donation is slightly, you're right, sir. They kind of fall underneath the same umbrella. I think if we can give an organ in order to save or prolong somebody's life, there is nothing in the Bible that even comes close to forbidding that. In fact, okay. Furthermore, I would say the admonition to help a neighbor or to be kind to somebody would be a lot closer verse. And when we get 1 Corinthians 15 is the place to go. When we get our new heavenly bodies, will we need our kidneys and our appendix? I don't know. But Tim, regarding cremation and regarding organs that are lost or fingers that get cut off at the workshop, God is going to restore them, and he's not going to have any problem. It's whether it's the same elements or not, or he just creates it and speaks it to make it happen, we don't know. But what we do know is we're going to get eternal bodies, and whether he recreates what was in the ground or lost at sea and the fish ate it, don't know, because we're not told. But we will have an eternal spirit enduring for forever resurrection body. And while I don't see any direct verses against cremation, there are people who would argue and say, we don't see any reason to go outside of burying a body. And they might have an argument. I don't think it's an explicit argument, but it could be implied. I don't think that there's anything biblically wrong with it. And, dude, God's not going to have any problem putting your body together any more than the sailor who was lost at sea when the Titanic went down. Those people, they are scattered all over the place. Just watch the attitude about it and the heart and why you do it, okay? Because that can always be the issue. If it's something that's not forbidden but your heart is wrong about it, then it is wrong. 1-877 Law Grace. You know what? If you've got a verse that says no cremation, by all means, let me know. 1-877 Law Grace. Free for All Friday continues.
Hollywood Be Thy Name is a book that will show you how Hollywood created golden images whose sole purpose was to bring in big money at the box office. We'll also explain why movies became filled with blasphemy, adultery, and violence. The bright light that once was became a gross darkness, and Hollywood began to suffer the ultimate delusion of grandeur. It enthroned itself as God and began to spout blasphemy against the heavens. Hollywood Be Thy Name, available through WhereTheMasterRadio.com.
This is huge and small all at the same time. Are you a smaller church and you would love to have a professional team come in and teach your flock how to witness and share their faith biblically, the way of the master style? Got a great website for you to go to. It's heartsforthelost.com. Okay, small church, no more excuses. They're willing to come in and train the flock to hit the streets. heartsforthelost.com.
That's it. School is in session.
The irony is devastating. The main purpose of Darwinism was to drive every last trace of an incredible God from biology. But the theory replaces God with an even more incredible deity. Omnipotent chance. Evolutionist T. Rozsaszak.
Hold your calls, America. We have a winner.
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
This is disturbing, to say the very least. No, not the program, what you're about to hear. This is Way of the Master... Well, two disturbing things. This is Way of the Master Radio. It's a free-for-all Friday. Please call 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. You call, we chat. That's how it works. If you don't call and chat, then we're going to play you more Todd Bentley clips. Please listen very carefully. The sound on this is, you know, a little bit, but you'll hear it. A man with stage 4 stomach cancer walks onto the platform. You'll hear him and the description of him. And then Todd Bentley, no relation, is going to have him raise his hands. And then David has kind of tightened this up just for the sake of time, which I'm now wasting. The guy runs across the stage and kicks him in the guts with his knee, like a wrestler. And the guy had no idea what was coming. And after he says, raise your hands, because he's quivering because he's just up on the stage because he's nervous, you hear him, and the guy getting kicked in the guts. This is the revival. This is of the Lord.
Okay, Todd, this is Roger. Yeah, stage
before metastatic colon cancer. He felt the power of God touch him. He felt his whole insides just quiver by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Are you still quivering?
I am now.
Okay, lift your hands up for me, okay?
Hear that? Did you hear that? That's a man who got throttled.
Okay.
Down to his knees.
Obedient to the Lord, sir.
What are you, I'm making you obedient to the Lord. Oh, that's how it works. I see. So if you can get somebody to assume the physical position of getting to their knees, you've made them obedient to the Lord. Oh, that's what the Beatitudes are all about. This guy's a ding-dong.
I had to be obedient to the Lord, sir.
That alone says go home to Canada. Take your... No, don't take your revival there. We love Canadians too much. Just stop, sir. Hang up your spikes, put your wrestling trunks away, and go somewhere and get a productive job. Kicking a guy in the guts so he drops to his knees and then covering with, I had to make you obedient to the Lord. Hey, Tony, so this is what this means. When I meet Christopher Hitchens,
yeah.
I'm going to give him a roundhouse right to the jaw so that he falls on his back. I just wanted to have you slain. That's what. I wanted to make you obedient to the Lord. Is this ever nonsense?
Give that
nonsense?
A shot, but call the attorneys first.
I believe that colon cancer is coming right out of your body now in the name of Jesus. And I just command it.
This is, again, we can't see this happening. We don't know that it's coming out of his body, if how that works anyway. Commanding it to come. I don't even, I'm trying to think of all the miracles. Can't think of all of them, certainly. Where Jesus even talked like this.
Help him up. Help him up.
Or was he binding and loosing disease? Well, first of all, you don't bind and loose a demon. Was he just suggesting that you can bind and loose a disease? Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi. Excuse me, Todd. Context. Happened to be about church discipline. Now the guy gets up to his feet, being helped up. He's holding his guts.
I don't do that very often, sir. Come here.
How often do you do it?
You felt a quivering in your body.
Yeah, quiver. Yeah.
I'll say.
You do feel a quiver when the painometer shoots up to a 12.
Now you're probably feeling a little more pain now. But when we are dealing with cancer, sometimes it's a spirit. We're going to drive it out.
By kneeing the guy in the guts.
Yeah, that's it. The way to deliver spirits out of somebody is not through an incantation or gobbledygook. That's not biblical either. You kick them out. That's how that works.
Can you feel anything right now? Did you have pain before?
No, it's deep
inside of you.
Yeah, well, what do you know? I'm shocked. Run for the door. Do you hear this poor guy? I mean, he slammed him. We'll put it up on the website. You'll see. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Unbelievable. And here's the... So what do you do with the people who go and sit and watch? What? All I can think about is 2 Timothy. In the last days, they will accumulate unto themselves in order to have their ears tickled, teachers in accordance with their desires, denying the truth. God went, okay, well, my understanding is that you want some charlatan to run around on a stage and leg drop pastors and kick people with pancreas cancer in the guts. All right, here's Todd Bentley. You asked for him. You got it. Far worse than a Toyota. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday. Darren is in Indiana. Hello, Darren.
Hello. I had a question about Luke 6:37, where it starts out talking about judging, where you're not supposed to judge others. Then in 38, it says give. It'll be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Yeah.
How does that have to do with... judging others, I don't understand.
Well, I think it's probably a different thought, but in the same paragraph, I think it has to do with our attitude toward others, that we don't have a critical, hypocritical, condescending, judgmental attitude. We do, because this is kind of a parallel here with Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount. We do have the right to judge and discern false teachers like this charlatan down in Florida. But we don't have the ability to judge their eternity, and we don't have the ability to judge their motive, and we can't have a wrong attitude. And so that needs to be the judging attitude, and forgiving people, and just giving to people. So it's about the attitude of love that we're supposed to have. That's how I think they all fit together, sir.
Okay, because I've heard the press down and everything all related to money. You know, you give money and then you get all the
sure.
back,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I didn't know if that was...
Yeah, well, you know what, there's a shift between the Old and the New Covenant, Darren. It is absolutely true, and we can't run away from this. In the Old Covenant, it's very clear, if you read Deuteronomy 28, that it's a quid pro quo covenant. If you do this, then you get that. So if the nation of Israel would behave well, Exodus 19 also, that their obedience will allow God to pour out his blessings on them, because it's a contingent covenant. And he did that back then to prosper them with grapes and with harvest and with money and with cities, so that the rest of the world would look and go, okay, who is that nation of priests? Who are those people? Who is their God? It was, if you will, God's evangelism program. So absolutely, God blessed with money. We are now in a different covenant. And the covenant now, where God says, if you do this, you will get that. The best verse you can probably come up with for that is probably 2 Corinthians 9 regarding money. But it's never just to get rich. It's always to bless others. We are now in a covenant where we are in the covenant of love, where we help, where we give because we want to. And when God gives us blessings, the focus is absolutely positively not on money. Although in 2 Corinthians 9 it's there. God gives us spiritual blessings. We get a peace that surpasses all understanding. We get the joy and the delight of fellowshipping with other believers. We get the pleasure of worshiping God, knowing that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the types and the shadows in the Old Testament. We get the joy of a cleansed conscience. Those are the blessings that we get poured out unto us in abundance in the New Covenant. Oh, and by the way, in 2 Corinthians 9, if you give a lot of money, I might bless you back with a lot of money so you can give more money. And so that's the perspective that we need to have, Darren. In the old, yeah. In the new, it's spiritual. And occasionally God says, some people I'm going to make rich so that they can bless other people so that more ministry can go on. The prosperity folks have latched on to a verse, maybe two, in the New Testament and have created a travesty with it. And way out of whack, and they love to spend their time in the Old Testament because that's their best hope. You'll just listen to the prosperity preachers. How many times in Proverbs do we get to hear the sermons? Love to quote the Proverbs. Why? Old Covenant. And besides, the Proverbs were never, never, never supposed to be if you do that, then you get, work hard, you'll definitely get rich. There's people right now working in fields who work a bazillion times harder than you and I do, and by comparison, we're rich. It's not a, if you do this, you get that type of book. It's a, these are general principles. If you follow these, overall life will go better. Not exactly like verse 12, verse 7 says, you'll get this if you do that. That's not how it works at all. And we've got to keep in mind God's sovereignty. We've got to keep in mind the book of Job, that there's God's plan going on. And some people, as hard as they work, as faithful as they are, they don't get a nickel because God's doing something else. Bill, thank you for calling Way of the Master Radio from California. Hello, Bill.
Hello there.
Hi.
I had a question about angels.
Yes, sir.
Good and bad. Are they still vying for ministries today and working with ministries for today?
Well, I don't know if I would answer ministries, but definitely individuals. So if individuals are in ministries, then I would say absolutely.
I had this idea that maybe the angelic is involved in some of the demonstrations of signs and wonders.
Oh, well, that's an interesting thought. Okay, two things. One is I'm going to consider what does the Bible say is the work of angels? And I automatically think of Hebrews chapter 1, that they're ministering spirits sent to minister to us. So I see them for protection, somehow involved in our life. I don't know of any verses that say that they get involved in signs and wonders crusades, or that they themselves have the ability to cause or perform miracles. I never hear that, so I would be inclined to say I don't think so.
There seems to be some violence in the Bible in connection to the unseen world. For example, they wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. He walks through the midst of them. They must have been in a stupor of some kind.
Well, that might be, but if you're comparing him to Todd Bentley, I don't think even Todd would like that analogy, because those were the bad people that were doing violent things.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, good and bad angels. Now, Peter was a rebel in a way, and he was said, Satan wants to sift you with sand, like sand, and he cut off the soldier's ear when he was slain in the spirit, and Jesus healed him. He didn't seem to upbraid Peter at that time, but later on, Peter, of course, proved he wasn't wanting to serve the Lord all the way through.
Yeah, well, but he definitely, it's interesting, too, when Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," was right after in Matthew 18, where it's the ministry of the keys. So if you're ever confused that Peter has a superior position, and if you think that when Jesus called him the rock on which this kingdom will be built, it's not him. Because in the next paragraph, he calls him Satan. Not that he literally was the devil, but because he had blown it so bad. Bill, have a good weekend. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Unfortunately, Todd Bentley, by the way, claims to have an angel named Emma. Something. And that he gets some power from some information from. Nyah! Once again, you're ripping us off of something nice. Angels are ministering spirits for us. I think they're protecting us, they're helping us, they're guarding us. And so somebody like this makes a show of it, and all of a sudden, great. Now we can't even enjoy the comfort of knowing that God has sent angels for us.
Apparently, you've never seen touched by an angel.
Apparently. Justin in Tennessee. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you very much. I didn't know I was going to be on the radio. But thank you, guys, for all you do. It's a great blessing to us. I got one admonition for you.
All right, sir.
Todd Bentley, I can't stand to hear his voice.
Okay.
It breaks my heart what he did. I just heard you guys about kicking the guy in the chest.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart. But please don't put that on the internet. We don't need to advertise that stuff, promote it, or even look at it.
You don't think that it'll help some people realize, whoa, this is a, you know, there's 7,000-8,000 people going every night, Justin.
Oh, I understand that. But just Bill O'Reilly says, hey, man,
right,
you guys really don't want to see this, but here it is coming up next.
Yeah. Okay, wait, you know, I'll tell you what, Justin, let me ponder it, all right, sir?
Thank you.
Fair enough. Okay, see ya. All right. I'll chew on that, because sometimes we mock Bill O'Reilly. In fact, I think we just did, didn't we, for doing that very thing. It's not sexual by any means. It's not like somebody getting killed. It's just shameful. This is Way of the Master Radio.